Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Hello and welcome to the Down at Third Man podcast. 2 weeks of cricket in and the rain has arrived. I'm sure everyone's had a very wet and windy bank holiday Monday. Well done though if you got out to the pub. I've been to a Robinson's pub, which will keep good old Nick happy, one of our listeners. He'll be delighted to know I was in the Lawton Arms enjoying a pint of wife beater at this dinner time.
Former sponsors of the podcast, you mean, Robinson's
Brewery? Yeah, them ones. If they want to continue sponsoring, it's more than welcome. They can have more mentions and I'll continue to go to many Robinson's establishments over the summer. That's no problem with me.
But just don't forget to, there is other establishments available if you so wish.
Yeah, and if they also want to sponsor us, same goes for them.
Absolutely.
As you can already hear, Jono is back with us, and we've also got Aid with us, so we've actually got the full trio tonight. We'll go through, it's been a good weekend, hasn't it, for you boys, in the sense that you won. But we'll go through performances maybe a bit later on.
No, don't
bother.
You've had a good day.
I wasn't going to talk about me,
get
mate.
Back on the buzz, right? Get back on the buzz.
Right, well, before we get going, we'll just give a shout-out to our sponsors, Woodstock. Really, you do need to get their kit because they have made miracles happen this weekend, which I'm sure we'll mention later. And we have got a discount code, so make sure you use that to get your kit. Right, we've got a very, very special guest today. We're delighted to be joined by another international cricketer on the pod, and that is ex-England and current Ireland player, Boyd Rankin. How are we, Boyd?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm well, thanks. I'm well.
A few people could say they've had an international cricketer on their podcast, but no, I bet not many people can say they've had someone who's played for two different countries. let's not stop at one. Let's do them all.
Yeah, got to try and collect them, haven't you? Almost as much as Aid collects clubs, eh, mate?
Hey, mate, I'm committed now to one club.
Yeah,
the club that'll have me.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about that. We were going to mention that bit. Right, before we have a little chat with Boyd in depth about his career and things as they are now in Ireland, we're just going to quickly go through a bit of world cricket. And we always start with the IPL, and well, there was no IPL today. COVID has hit. A few players, I think Chakravarti and another, have got it in KKR side. Some of the CSK staff have got it as well. Do we think it should be carrying on now that it's actually in the bubble? I'm going to go first to the professional cricketer because I'm sure he has much more of an insight into this, having been in the bubble last year than we do. What do you think, Boyd?
Yeah, I think it's obviously quite concerning that it's now inside the bubble with a few teams. So, yeah, I'm not, like, unless they're going to be, I suppose, kept separate from the rest of the teams that are still safe, then I'm not really sure how it can continue. It's obviously great that it has sort of continued up till now, obviously, with like in terms of what's happening out there at the moment. But yeah, I think once it gets in the bubble, it's quite hard to sort of play on, really, I think.
What is it, your experience of bubble life so far, Boyd? What experiences have you had? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, well, I obviously spent 3 weeks. Roughly 3 weeks in Southampton last year for the England one-day series. So, like, to be honest, we were actually looked after really well down there. It wasn't like we had our own team room. We were looked after well in terms of our food. And, yeah, it was obviously tough because you obviously couldn't leave the ground. But in general, it wasn't too bad. I think, obviously, like, it was only for a short period of time, 3 weeks. It's something you could do. But I think these guys that are doing it pretty much since it hit last year till now, where they're sort of going in and out of bubbles constantly, I think it will, like, it obviously, like, it will take a massive effect, more so, like, mentally. It's obviously really difficult. You're sort of, I think cricketers in general probably are used to, especially traveling places like India, Bangladesh, where you don't really get to see much outside of the hotel anyway. So you're sort of traveling basically from the hotel to the ground for training back again. So in many ways, maybe cricketers are more used to it because of that. But it is, I think if you're doing it nonstop, especially if you're playing in like England and stuff where you're used to sort of being out and about, then yeah, like it's obviously tough for those guys. And I think, yeah, there's been a few where they've had breaks to try and sort of break it up a bit, because if you are doing it all the time, yeah, like it does sort of wear you down.
Going back to the actual cricket in the IPL, there's been, we'll start with the good performances. Josh Butler's finally got a T20 100, quoted after the game as being delighted that Alistair Cook could no longer rip him about having one more than him. And there was also good performances from Kieran Pollard, was on fire, and Shimron Hetmyer's had a couple of good games as well for Delhi Capitals. Not quite winning in one, but then more or less winning the other single-handedly. But I think one of the big talking points on the pitch has to be David Warner, basically sacked via an Instagram post as captain. Williamson takes over. Warner's running drinks. Do we think David Warner is loitering, could you say, past his best now? I mean, let A go just because I feel like he'll latch Aussie bash and Jono's winding himself up.
I was just about to say, would tap into a nicer bloke, to be fair. But you can't, well, yeah. Williamson is obviously probably a better captain, and Warner has been struggling. I saw he got 50 the other day, and it basically come off 50 balls, I think. But I think you can't be doing stuff like that. But there's been a bit of problem in there, haven't there, for the last couple of weeks or so, I think. Obviously, the performances aren't helping. And maybe it is a bit of a scapegoat, but he hasn't really performed much, you know, to his high standards with the bat, has he?
No, I think that's fair to say. He hasn't been anywhere near it with the bat, and there's been some interesting captaincy decisions, although he sort of put it on Trevor Bayliss and the selectors, sort of making out as if it wasn't his choice, which seems odd. Jono, I'm sure you're going to Aussie bash here.
No, actually, you'd be very surprised. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've not had fortunately, I've not got the job like Boyd to bowl at these kind of people, but David Warner would still be pretty high on a list of people I would not want to bowl at, especially when it comes to watching England. I don't think he's passed his best. He's had a tough run, don't get me wrong. Kane Williamson's a better captain, though, I think. I'll throw that one out there. But I don't think a bloke who's been done for match cheating has got arrested for hitting another cricketer in a nightclub. I don't think he's kind of like the character for captaincy. But yeah, there you go. I don't think he's passed his best. I still wouldn't like bowl at him. I don't know what Boyd thinks, but I wouldn't like bowl at him.
Yeah, but you get spanked by, like, second teamers, Johnny.
Yeah, I get smacked by second teamers, so, yeah, there you go.
Would you like to bowl at him, Boyd, or is it a big no?
Well, obviously, I have bowled him in the past, and I didn't, yeah, he is a tough customer to bowl to, so, yeah, like, I would sort of agree with that. Like, I think, yeah, he's still a pretty good player. Yeah, maybe he's going through a bit of lack of form at the minute, but yeah, no, I think he's still a pretty good player. Personally, I'm not a massive fan of him either, but I've had a few run-ins with him down the years. But it's one of those, isn't it? It's with those IPL teams. I'm sure there's a lot of things happen that it's probably unexplained at times. So I'm not really surprised that it's how it's sort of happened, but I think, yeah, obviously he's not playing at the moment, so yeah, I think, yeah, like they obviously went in with a poor run of form, so like something had to change, and they obviously thought the way to go. I don't think it obviously helped for the game after either, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
When you say he had a run in, he didn't try and drop a headbutt on you and walk about like he was famed for doing. Everyone Classic story.
Yeah, it's a long way to reach that.
Yeah, get him some step ladders, he'll be a rater. Changing away from the IPL and looking a bit more local, looking at the UK and the county championship. Some interesting results, I think it's fair to say. Lancashire and Gloucestershire both won again. Surrey beat Hampshire. Hampshire had started the season so well and Surrey so badly. Surrey won by over an innings, an absolute trouncing. They scored over 500, and I don't think in either innings Hampshire got above 200. So a proper trouncing there. And Yorkshire beat Northants by literally one run, which was a fair finish. Anyone stood out for you this week, boys, in the runs or in the wickets at all? Go on, Ginge. No?
I've not seen anything, I'll be honest, mate.
Oh, God.
I have seen the Ollie Pope and Amler turned up, didn't they?
Ollie Pope, good at cricket. Ollie Pope, good at cricket.
And I did see that Yorkshire game was quite close, but that's about as much as I've seen.
So, Mark Wood taking poles again as he led Durham to victory.
Not only that, mate, but he's got a former Staffordshire player out. Rob Yates opened the batting for Staffordshire. Must be well. Played for our minor county. Gets absolutely trolleyed by Mark Wood. That shows you the difference there.
But Rob Yates was praised by Alistair Cook. Was it Alistair Cook the other week?
Was he?
Yeah, because he'd done so well, hadn't he, for the week before against Essex. So I'm sure it was Alistair Cook who was one of the ones suggesting that he was really, really impressed by him.
Speaking of local cricket, Jonathan, I did go to watch Burslem for a bit yesterday, mate.
Oh, God.
I am now currently injured for the Sunday after watching Zen Malik smash it everywhere.
Yeah, we shall be batting, mate.
Great. If you win the toss.
And then just last thing on world cricket is internationals. We've had Sri Lanka versus Bangladesh. That's actually been a much better game than the first one. The first one was basically just played on a road, played on the M6, and just was not a good game. Whereas Sri Lanka have actually won this one out, 209 runs in the end. They set a big first inning score, and then Bangladesh just never really, really got into it. Just a quick one for Boyd on the state of pitches in international cricket. Is there anything worse than turning up somewhere and it being an absolute road where you think this is going to be 500 plays 500?
It's pretty disappointing and frustrating. Knowing that the pitch is flat, but I suppose it's a difficult one because if you've got good bowling, and it still should be a pretty good contest. But it isn't ideal in general. Just for world cricket, you want to have like results, and you want to have sort of close games. You don't really want it to be just going 500 v 500. I think people are more interested in sort of seeing good like hard fought wins, whether it's day four, day five. But at the same time, even a 2 or 3 day win is probably more interesting than a 500 v 500 and a draw after day five. So I think more so in England it's probably a lot better. But I suppose in the subcontinent, if there isn't much turnaround, then it can be a quite slow 5 days.
Mm. Yeah, I think they're the sort of games where you start to understand why people can say cricket is a bit boring at times. The other test match that was happening was Zimbabwe-Pakistan, and Pakistan won by more than an innings. Absolute trouncing, I think it's fair to say. And that's really been it in international cricket. New Zealand is now number one in ODIs. England have lost a spot. England are fourth in the latest rankings. Had a big drop. I'm sure Ireland will be above us at this rate. We're not had a good time. Right then, so gonna have just a chat with Boyd now for the rest of the first half of the show. Boyd, obviously born in Ireland, started your cricketing career in Ireland. What is cricket like in Ireland? Because I'll be totally honest and admit, other than knowing there's four first class sides, I wouldn't know what cricket was like in Ireland.
Yeah, obviously, it's quite big in sort of certain areas. I'm from just outside of Derry, Londonderry, which would be like the northwest of, like Northern Ireland or Ireland in general. But there, as you say, there's four first-class teams, four regions that are quite strong in cricket. And I suppose the club cricket there is actually quite good. Probably more so because the standard of the overseas players that come over. Like whenever I was growing up, it had to be a first class cricketer from in terms of like an international team. So we had the likes of Shoaib Akhtar played in our league, Cameron Akmal, Ridley Jacobs, quite a few players from Pakistan, South Africa. There was quite a few as well, but like that was only a few. But like in general, the teams were sort of built around your overseas pro, and it was quite a strong league, really. And I think in general, cricket is still pretty strong. It's probably strongest in around Dublin, just because of the sheer number of cricketers that are sort of based there. But it is gradually growing throughout Ireland, and there's more clubs being formed pretty much every year. There's a few new clubs being formed. So I think we're just trying to tap into the regions that maybe aren't so strong in cricket and trying to grow them as well. But I think it's important for us to have a strong like grassroots in terms of game coming through, because we need those players coming through to sort of push for like Ireland stuff. Now, like especially that we don't have like county cricket to sort of fall on as well.
So what's the sorry to interrupt you there, Ash, but what's the kind of setup underneath that then for you? Because obviously in England you talk about club cricket to county cricket, and obviously you've just talked about like the four first class regions and stuff like that. Then we go further afield, like into Asia, they rely mainly off stuff like school cricket, don't they? And that mm-hmm. feeds into the first class system. So is there any similarities and differences between that, or is it more based off your English kind of like system?
It's quite similar to the English based system, but we've sort of got to be underage like development teams as well. So each region would be working off like an A team or a under 19 team basically from each region as well, and like they would play like against one another, and it would sort of work that way. It would be like in terms of whenever I grew up, it was your region, and if you'd done well for your region, then you got picked for your country. But obviously like the regions played against one another, like bring us, they then played against one another, and then there was like an Ireland under 13s, 15s, 17s, 19s. So you sort of had a pathway to sort of work through. But like between that, it's basically just coming out of the club teams, really. I think that's where the gap is between playing for your province at senior level up to international cricket, because there is a big gap there. So it's quite difficult to sort of get that balance, I suppose.
So obviously you started in Ireland, but then you came across, you were with Middlesex, you went Harper Adams University. How did that like come about? Is that just from being spotted over in Ireland, or was that a decision made by you to try and sort of further your career?
It all sort of happened quite quickly. I left school. I went there, like I was obviously from a family farm. One of the studied in terms of agriculture. So I moved over to like Newport, Shropshire, and playing there. I was still involved with the Ireland stuff, but the summer before I moved over, I made my debut for Ireland's senior team in England against a few random teams, really. It was the Club Cricket Conference, Free Foresters. I think back then it was more just trying to get some game time for the in terms of the Ireland senior team. There was a few scouts at that point came to watch me, and sort of off the back of that, I was sort of offered a contract with Middlesex for the summer after I did my first year at uni, basically, and it sort of in terms of moved on from there then, really.
So obviously you came over with Middlesex, then spent time with Derbyshire and Warwickshire, and obviously had a good under-19s World Cup with Ireland, and then obviously say played for Ireland, and sort of made headlines there. What was it like sort of at the county sides, and then was the whole time sort of playing for England in the back of your mind as the option going forward?
I think, yeah, once I'd moved over to England and I was sort of playing county cricket like regularly, it was sort of then that I sort of realised that I could potentially try and play for England. You sort of went back there to the under-19 World Cup. I thought I was terrible at under-19 World Cup for Ireland. I couldn't actually hit a cut strip at that point for whatever reason. I don't know why. But I really struggled. We were in Bangladesh, I think it was, and it was quite humid, and the ball was swinging miles, and I basically couldn't control the ball. So it was a bit. I'd gone from sort of making my Ireland debut to then open the ball for Ireland at like under-19 level, and I actually really struggled, and it actually got to a point where I didn't actually open the bowling. Owen Morgan, the current captain, he actually opened the bowling for us because he was the only one that could actually control the swing. So he actually opened the bowling in quite a few of the games actually for us in that under-19 World Cup. Thankfully, we came back from that and I managed to find my radar again. But yeah, it was just one of those where I probably struggled a little bit, but. Yeah, like obviously that was just something that came to my head there, but I think obviously the county setup in general is just really, really good, and obviously you're playing cricket like day in, day out, and it was the first time really when I, in terms of moved to county, that I really focused on my fitness and stuff as well, because like to be honest, I that first year at university I enjoyed myself pretty well, so I remember rocking up for fitness testing after the first winter at uni, and I think I got a bit of a telling off, but I didn't really know any better at that stage because I never really was in a gym, so it was all sort of, I suppose, natural ability at that point, and I didn't really understand what it took to actually play cricket full time, and it wasn't until I sort of got like a summer contract to start with and then a full-time contract that I could actually focus on my fitness, which was a big thing for me to actually become like the bowler that I did, really.
I've got to say, I think sort of I didn't realise quite how much your career in internationals went sort of back and forth and involved quite a lot of sort of playing against teams who you then went and played for. So in the 2011 World Cup, you're obviously part of the Ireland team that beat England. And then 2 years later, you make your debut for England. And then one of your next games for England involves taking a fourfer against Ireland. What was it like going from being sort of a part of like that big giant killing Ireland team to then being on that England side just 2 years later in Dublin as well, going and beating Ireland, your former teammates?
It was quite a strange period in my in terms of my life in general. Just like obviously that 2011 World Cup win against England was obviously pretty massive. To obviously beat them in a World Cup, especially, and the way we did it, obviously, like Kevin O'Brien scoring that really fast 100. It was obviously really, really good. My coach at the time at Warwickshire was Ashley Giles. He was a selector for England at the same time, and he was actually there after the game. So it was a bit strange shaking hands after the game with like a few of the lads, like obviously Trotty and Belly, who were my teammates at Warwickshire. So it was all a bit strange. Obviously, it was great to obviously beat them. It was just a bit, it was a bit surreal. And then, obviously, as you say, 2 years later, then making my debut England against Ireland in Dublin was even more stranger, really. It was just a bit of a surreal day because, obviously, I had all my England teammates, and then I looked across and seen all my mates that I had kept in touch with quite a few of them. So to then play against them, it was just a very strange day, but it was obviously a very proud day as well, because obviously I'd made my England debut. My family were there as well. Some of them with Ireland tops on, some of them with England tops on. So it was all a bit, it was obviously a great day. I picked up 4 wickets and we managed to win the game. I think it was quite touch and go at one point until Owen and Ravi Bopar managed to get a good partnership. But yeah, I suppose that's what my dream was, to obviously try and play test cricket for England. That 2 years earlier when I sort of like retired from Ireland because I was just playing too much cricket, I wanted to focus on Warwickshire and trying to break into the England team. So yeah, it was just a very strange moment. It's not something I would want anybody else to be put through, and probably it won't happen again because obviously Ireland now are a full member, so I can't see it ever happening again. So yeah, it's one of those that I wouldn't want to be doing every day.
Obviously, you said you wanted to play Test cricket for England, and you did manage to do that in the 2013-14 Ashes. What was it like finally making that debut and sort of, I guess, being at what many people would consider being the pinnacle of sport? And then obviously you took a wicket, I think it was Peter Siddle. And what was it like facing Mitchell Johnson? Because I noticed that you faced Mitchell Johnson, which I'm sure all of us sat here thinking, no, thank you, not in that series. That's not where we want to be.
Obviously that tour in general was, it was quite like an eventful tour in many ways, with various players leaving the tour, obviously getting whitewashed. It was quite a tough tour to be on. It was my first tour with England. It was obviously a massive tour, Australia. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but once we were in Australia, then I realized how tough it is to go and actually win there. Even just walking down the street for dinner at night, there'd be cars driving past, putting their windows down, just shouting abuse at you. You'd be like, I'm just going for dinner here. It's just weird. It's just a different experience than what I'd be used to. But obviously, yeah, it was great to be given that opportunity in that final test. It was obviously like a proud moment for me. I'd obviously something that I'd always had like dreamt of at that stage, to try and play test cricket. It probably didn't go to plan as well as I would have wanted to. I'd picked up a shoulder injury a few days before the test, but it probably hampered me through the test. But I just thought, well, I might never get this opportunity again, so I might as well take it with both arms and just like give it my best shot. So yeah, it was obviously great to be there. Maybe not so much, as you say, facing like Mitchell Johnson ball, and that's 150 kilometers an hour. It wasn't pretty. And then, I still remember walking in, he was bowling, and that was one of the reasons why I didn't particularly like David Warner, because he strolled past and gave me a bit of abuse just before he even took guard. So I was like, right, I'm taking guard here and looking up. Mitchell's coming in, steaming in, bowling 150 at my head. So I was like, yeah, this is really enjoyable.
Obviously, following your career with England, you've then gone back to Ireland and have appeared in two tests for them. Took the first ever wicket for Ireland in test cricket against Pakistan, which must be a really proud moment. And then to go and represent Ireland at Lords against England and take a couple of wickets. Got Curran and got Stuart Broad. Again, must be another really, really proud moment, and sort of goes full circle, I guess, in the end.
Yeah, to be honest, once I had played that test for England and I moved back to Ireland again, I never dreamt that Ireland would have got test match status as quick as they did. Like, obviously, thankfully, they obviously did that. And yeah, I obviously managed to play a few tests since. That obviously that first wicket was was really special. That whole morning, just obviously I had already made my test debut with England, but it was just as special to obviously make it with Ireland, and especially considering the other 10 blokes, it was their debut. So yeah, it was obviously very emotional for everybody that day, and it was obviously great to get the first wicket, and yeah, the England test match that first morning, that's probably the most surreal first morning of test cricket that I've ever played or watched, I think, just in terms of we managed to pick up a couple of wickets, then we were we're not really sure what's going on here, and then the wickets just kept tumbling and tumbling. We were 85 all out. We were walking in for lunch, and we were this people were just going in the dressing rooms looking at it all, going what's just happened here. We were literally and then everybody was just, I think they were probably more they could then tuck into in terms of a Lord's lunch. They didn't have to go back out in bowl after lunch. So yeah, I think we enjoyed our lunch that day as well. So
that's appealing to the club cricketer as all, is a big fan of this. Haven't got to go out and bowl after lunch, except you got to do is at Lord's, which is
I think it's just extra special at Lord's, because obviously the Lord's lunches are pretty well known to be pretty good, quite a few.
Can you remember what you had that day, Boyd, or no?
To be honest, no. But it was a good three course. It was a good three course meal. So I do remember that, but I can't pinpoint exactly what I had, because, to be honest, we were there for 3 or 4 days prior to the test match, and we basically had a large lunch every day leading up to the start of the test match as well. So we pretty much got our 5 days worth, even though we went for day three. So we still got 5 or 6 days worth of Lord's lunches. So that was pretty good. Obviously it didn't in the end go the way we wanted it to go. I thought going into the third morning, we had a great opportunity to obviously win the game, but I think the weather, in terms of it was really overcast, and Brody and Wokesy had other ideas. So no, it wasn't meant to be, but obviously it was a really special occasion playing in front of a pretty much a packed house for those first few days.
Obviously now back in Ireland playing for, is it Northwest Warriors? And obviously last year was affected by COVID, so got the white ball series against England, but what's the plan for 2020 for yourself and for Ireland? And obviously back in 2019 you played in the Blast. Is there any hopes of coming back over for the Blast?
I'll never say never. I think obviously it's probably a bit more difficult now. I've up until last October I was still currently living in Birmingham. I've now moved back to Northern Ireland full time. Obviously for the Northwest Warriors, our interprovincial season just kicked off there. 3 days. We've got a busy May with the Interpro series coming up. There's a 3-match ODI series against Holland in June, which is part of the ODI the qualification for the next important games. South Africa are coming over, so quite a busy for the Ireland team in general, and then obviously with the T20 World. Well, at the minute it's in India in October, but potentially it could be in the UAE. But yeah, that's obviously to look forward to as well. So it obviously has been a strange 12 months till now. We haven't probably played a lot of cricket, as has quite a lot of other teams. But yeah, we're obviously looking to get back into it now, trying to get a bit of like cricket into ourselves, leading into those games that are coming up.
Nice one. Well, we wish you the best of luck for that. But before we finish, we've got a couple of things. Now, first of all, we've got a couple of questions from listeners that I'm going to warn you are far from serious. One of our listeners who loves to send us a question is Jim Amis. And I don't think he's ever sent us an even close to sensible question or story. So his first question for you is, Niall O'Brien, Kevin O'Brien, Tim Murtagh, snog, marry, avoid. Please show me your workings.
Oh, jeepers. what was it again? Sorry.
Niall O'Brien, Kevin O'Brien, and Tim Murtagh, snog, marry, avoid.
Probably snog Mertz. avoid Niall or marry Kev. I don't know.
Bet he was not expecting that.
And then the next one, a slight question for him, is slightly more sensible, I think. He wanted to know if Trent Johnston ever bust out the famous chicken dance on a night out, or if it was purely just for the pitch. And if when he did pull it out, did he ever get abused for it?
No, he's definitely pulled it out on a night out. From what I can remember, yeah, he's definitely pulled it out on a night out. I think there was probably a few strange looks at him, but no, I can't say he really got abused for it. He's obviously well known for it, so yeah, he got quite a few strange looks. But apart from that, no, he did all right actually. I think he pulls it off quite well, to be fair to him.
It is one of the better celebrations. I much prefer it to the Sheldon Cottrell salute. our last thing to finish with is always a quick fire round with our guests. So we're going to try and get through as many questions as we can in a minute. I'm hoping Aid is going to be timing, because that is Aid's one and only job normally on the podcast.
Job, mate, on the podcast.
are you ready, Aid? Dare I ask?
My mate, hang on.
Oh, Jesus, he's got five time on his phone still. He can't count to 60. He needs the timer. You ready then, dude? Give us a countdown.
3, 2, 1, go.
Best ground.
Lords.
Best player played against.
Ponting.
Best player played with.
Bell.
Red or white ball.
Red.
High score.
First class or?
Yeah.
First class, 56 not out.
Best figures.
6 for 55.
Best friend in cricket.
William Porterfield.
Favorite food.
Thai.
Favorite drink.
Guinness.
Favourite band?
Oasis.
Pre-match song?
I Have a Tiger.
I'd stop you there.
Oh. Hey, he's got the alarm going and everything.
How about me, mate?
No, not about you. Oh, wow.
Was that John?
It may have been.
Just a couple that I want to just add on that we didn't quite get to because we were next. Have you ever had a Staffordshire oat cake?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
That's a shame for you. And the last one was, would you ever play in the North Staffs League, which has been basically asked by everyone I've seen this week who's mentioned this interview has asked. Ask him if he'd ever come and play a game.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, of course.
There we are, Jono. The opening ball was sorted.
You'll have to run up. You'll have to run up the bank, Boyd. Unfortunately, if you come and play for us, you know the new lads. The new lads have got to earn the stripes. Everyone's got to trundle up the hill at once.
And I can't make it up the bank anymore.
Yeah,
That's fair enough.
Now, before we let you go, Boyd, one thing we do every week is something called Room 101, where we basically suggest something that we'd like to get rid of from cricket. Now, Aid last week suggested getting rid of ringers from Sunday cricket. He wanted Sunday cricket to be all about everyone having a game. Unsurprisingly, everyone on Twitter voted to back Aid. They didn't back the use of ringers from first teamers turning up in third team games on a Sunday. Have you got anything you'd like to kick from cricket in any form at all?
As a fellow bowler, I think it has to be something to do with bowling. So, the leg side wide, I think it's very, it's obviously if it's really wide down the leg, then yeah, it's a wide. But I've had run-ins with umpires before. If a batter stands in a stand and the ball will hit him and he's moved, it obviously misses leg stump, it's still given a wide. So I think it shouldn't be a wide, in my opinion, but I don't know.
As a batsman who doesn't score at all quickly, I quite like the leg side wide rule, but I do agree. I think it is very, very daft how it can miss the leg stump by a millimetre and be considered a wide. Isn't good. So we'll put that up to a vote. We'll see if the cricketing public agree with you. I'm sure there'll be some batsmen who don't, just because.
No, I think I think it's a batter's game in general. So anything to help the bowler.
Well, we'll put it up to the vote. We'll see if all the batsmen agree with you. I'm sure the bowler as well. Now, we're going to allow Boyd to escape from us now, because we're sure we won't want to spend 40 minutes chatting about the North Staffs Cricket League, although I'm sure you'll now be getting plenty of offers from various clubs.
Emails will be flying in.
You'll regret ever doing that. I can see Norton and Ailes, I think, could find a spot for you. But a big, big thank you for joining us, boy, because it's been really interesting and a really, really enjoyable chat. And thank you for joining us.
No, cheers, and thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure,
boys. Thanks,
thank you very much.
You're cheers. Welcome back anytime.
Cheers.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value, and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage, and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players, and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk. Right. Shall we delve into some North Staff South Cheshire cricket then, lads? Shall we? I suppose we should... there's only one place really to start. We'll save mine and Lalo's weekend for later on when we get to Division 2. Mr. Turner, how did your weekend go? Dare I ask.
In summary, not great, because we lost last ball, mate. I'll be honest with you.
That's all that matters, mate. Thanks very much for that. So, yep, moving on.
Exactly.
I like how you started with the team first, Turner. Very good.
Mate, it's the team that matters.
Fuck the team, Turner. How did you go on?
I mean, I got my first 50, but we'll go back to the fact that the team lost on the last ball, mate. But got to give a shout out to Tommy Smith, because we need
his first ever 50, Turner.
Yeah, mate, first ever 50. No, first ever. I only played 3 years of junior under 11s, mate. Come on. Wasn't scoring 50s and under 11s, was I? I was lucky to get off the track. Uh-huh. Which I'm still am now, to be fair. But I want to give a shout out to Tommy Smith, because we needed 12 to win off the last three balls. And I'll be honest, mate, he absolutely creamed 2 fours back to back. And for a moment, the dream was alive. But to be fair, good bowling from the lad from Bettley. And we only got a single from the last ball, so we lost by two.
Good bowling. He got twatted for two fours just before it.
They were two very good shots, to be fair, to Smithy. I've got to give it to him.
He's 11 off one ball.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there, mate. Don't worry.
Well, yeah, big shout out to a couple of lads from Bettley as well. Some good bowling, and I think it was Josh Orman hit a ton for them. He was class with a bat, as was, to be fair, Lewis Clark hit quite a quick 60. Some powerful hits. I wish he hadn't hit a couple of them straight at me, to be honest, because stung the palms, shall we say, stopping them. But yeah, good game. Good weekend despite losing. The 60, oh, it wasn't that quick, mate. It was still off like 90 balls or something. So,
mate, I've checked it. That was it was a decent lick. It wasn't ridiculous for limited overs cricket. We'll take that.
Yeah, it wasn't as slow as I normally am. But we were at Batley, so anyone who knows Batley knows that it's 40 yards boundaries. So that was
any
helpful.
Any sixes?
Don't be daft, mate. Never any sixes.
Not even at Batley.
Ten boundaries, I noticed, though, Tierney.
Yeah.
Oh,
how many to third man?
In reality, probably three or four of them, I would say. Mate,
your honesty.
The one for the 50, mate, was a lovely cut shot to probably a wide third man, if I'm being totally honest.
Any inside edges for four?
One. But
so that's all the boundaries.
Yeah. I would argue, mate, it was such a wide ball. The only way I was ever getting bat on it was a flailing edge. So, either way, I got out on 61 and got told to fuck off, you jammy cunt, which was great fun.
Wow, just drop a C-bomb into the podcast, mate.
Give him a shout-out, Jane. Who was it, my mate?
I don't actually know his name. He just ran in.
Oh, he was a nobody then.
How many did he get, Tierney?
Well, he didn't bat, mate, because he only lost one wicket. But there you go. Right, let's get on to the real cricket now. You don't want to listen to any more talk on Div 7.
Let's leave Division 7 behind. At least one of us had a good weekend, though, Lal. One of the pod represented the pod.
Good day, mate. We'll
get to our results shortly. Let's kick off, shall we, gentlemen? Premier Division cricket. And as we all know on the podcast, with every prediction we've ever made ever, they are drastically wrong.
How did we do, Tierney, by the way? I can't remember.
Not very well, mate.
Not very well.
We got the most out of the Prem ones.
I think we were about the same. I think we only got about two right between us, mate.
Put it this way. Our two tips for the top in the Premier Division, Port Hill and Meakins, both lie in the bottom three, which is fantastic. Both none from two. Although, if I run through the results from the weekend, Bursland beat Ashcombe Park quite comfortably. Bagnall and Norton beat Meakins again quite comfortably. Meakins 150 all out. Bagnall knocked them out for none.
Can I just give a shout out to Bagnall, because I did go and watch a bit of Bagnall's Sunday side yesterday for a couple of pints, and I was told that quite a lot of the Bagnall lads listen, and Justin is obviously listening. Yeah, but a little bit disappointed because apparently we've been quite quick talking about them. We haven't given them much of a shout, but
I'll give them a shout as long as they chuck us 20 quid for a set of bat, 30 quid, however much it is for a set of bat stickers, and then we can get some more representation in the Prem. There we go. They've turned over probably the second favourites for the Premier Division title. Meekins were 154 all out. Only three players made it to double figures. Hamez Mahmood, Michael Hill, Jack Hammond made it to double figures. Oh, and extras batted well, four top scorer. Greg Willett with two. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm going to say Arancini, like those Italian rice balls. He got one for 13 while bowled. Mohamed Ahmed, who I can only presume was sub-pro. I can only presume he was sub-pro, because I know they're still awaiting the arrival of Bilawal Bhatti if he does arrive. So I presume Mohamed Ahmed was the sub-pro. And Freddie Dorbar, didn't know Freddie bowled, but 3 for 13 off five. Thanks for coming, mate. Well bowled. Maybe there was some bamboozling of non-bowlers there. I don't know. I don't want to disrespect anyone from Bagnall Morton. But then they just went and twatted it off in 30 overs. Thanks very much, lads. Mohamed Ahmed again, 80 off 107, not out. And Josh Cartledge, I used to play against a lot when he his former clubs in the back end of his junior career. good player. I know he's had a couple of years at Newcastle. He's had some time at Checkley as well. Really, really good player. Nice lad. He was 60-odd not out as well. I think he'd be a good signing for them. So, yeah. And that much-vaulted Meekins attack went wicketless. They did. So, big, big results on there, I noticed. I've seen Carl High in the gym today. Carl High was none for 5 off 6. Well bowled, Carl. But all wicketless, which is an interesting one. So, yeah, that was probably the biggest shock result, I'd say, in the day. I don't want to do any disrespect to Bagnall. But another, I say, shock result as such is Port Hill are also none from 2 on the season. Now, I understand there's some controversy. Has anyone heard about this controversy surrounding the Port Hill Cheadle match?
I've not heard of the exact controversy. I've heard that there was some, and I noticed that it seemed to be very rain affected, looking at the scorecard. Yeah. That didn't make any real sense on Saturday night.
Yes. So I don't want to comment too much because I wasn't there. However, I have got on good authority of someone who was watching the game that the umpires and a Duckworth-Lewis calculation and some quite a lot of penalty runs. Let me check how many penalty runs. 24 penalty runs. Although I'm not sure how it's ended up at 24 penalty runs because I'm pretty sure that the penalty runs, I thought they were in fives, but they might well be in sixes. In which case they've done them for 4 overs short at the conclusion of play. Yeah, so that left Port Hill having bowled 54 extras.
Wow. Wowza.
That is also top score.
it is top score of the day for Cheadle. 54 extras, 5 leg byes, 20 wides, 5 no balls, and 24 penalty runs. I don't know where all these wides are, though, because there's not 20 wides in the scorecard. To be perfectly frank with you, the scorecard is a bit of a mess. I can't really keep up. None of it matches up. The no balls match up. The wides don't.
Yeah, there's 18 wides, isn't there?
There's 18 wides, but there's 20 on the scorecards. Cheadle scorecards all over the place. There's people batting it like lower down in the order who've been into bat. I don't really understand what's going on.
No, Port Hill could have won. It's just wrong on the scorecard.
but I understand there was quite a bit of controversy. I understand it's an ongoing situation, so we don't want to comment onto an ongoing investigation. I believe there's appeals and inquiries ongoing. But I hope that situation gets resolved, and I'm really looking forward to reading the Sentinel article on it. I presume there's no Sentinel article today, so I'll be interested to see what is said about that one. And another one of our, no disrespect to Stone SB, another one of our teams tipped to struggle, finished off the Premier weekend by annihilating Whitmore. Whitmore 70 all out, Stone knocked them off for 4. George Harding doing the majority of the damage, 4 for 12 off 9. Well bowled, that man. And also Mark Hulbert, who I've never heard of, but well bowled, Mark. 3 for 16 off 7. Well bowled, that man. Yeah, good show, gentlemen. Very, very good show. So the league standings in the Prem, gents, if you're interested. Currently, let's have a look at how wrong we've actually got it. So currently we've got Checkley, Longton and Stone, all 2 from 2. I know we expected Longton to be there or thereabouts. They're shaped up well. Checkley, I think we said, could be dangerous. They've shaped up quite well. Stone are surprising in the early stages. Everyone else then is 1 out of 2, apart from our good friends Port Hill, Meekins and also Ashcombe Park. So, early days still, but good to see that our tips have got absolutely nowhere.
Do you want to hear, according to Mr. Travers, what actually happened at the end of the game?
Why have we got...
Well, according to the game, they were set a new target due to rain, Cheadle, of 166 off 31. And it looked like a tight finish because they needed 38 off the last 5. However, at that point, the umpires then hit them with a 24-run penalty for the slow over rate, meaning they only needed 14 off the last 5 overs. I can sort of understand why there may be a bit of upset there, especially if it's a really wet day. Surely you're going to over eight's going to be slow and you make...
My understanding of the new rules, mate, is the only thing that there's a time lag, because we were behind on our... I don't know how, because I thought we were bowling quite quick, but we'll get to our game later. But we'd taken quite a number of wickets in the first hour and a half, which had put our over eight behind. But of course, there's no allowances anymore for wickets falling. So the only time allowance I think you now have is for lost ball or wet ball. That's it.
So you'd think wet ball would be where the time was maybe lost, wouldn't you? You'd think on Saturday.
The only thing that I'll add to that as well is, again, wasn't there, so I don't want to comment or get myself in trouble with the league. I don't want to be in front of a disciplinary, please.
I was about to say something about something. Yeah, but I'm not going
to. Mr. Chairman. But why on earth have they been given a 24-run penalty with five overs to go?
Yeah, and
seems like a really strange time to.
What are your thoughts on this new rule?
The time allowances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's doing my tits in already. It was doing my head in Saturday because I just don't understand it. So, like for example, on Saturday in our game, to share the scene for anyone, we got a team. What did we get them? Five or six down within the first hour or so.
Something like that, yeah.
So they lost a number of wickets. There was quite a delay at every wicket because we either chose to sanitise at those points, which we don't get a time allowance for, or some of the batsmen just took quite a long time. Didn't take the piss, but they just took a long time. It's not a dig at anyone for me or Ether or anything. Like they weren't taking the mick or out like that. But that left us a couple of overs behind at the end of the first hour or so. So then I'm getting a reminder all the time that we're like two overs behind. I mean, the ball's not gone anywhere. We've not lost a ball, so we can't have any time allowances. It's like, well, we've not lost any time through our own fault, yet we were behind. Now, had we not bowled them out on Saturday, we'd have probably been behind on our overs unless the slower bowlers continued through the innings. But I don't see how we can make up any more time than we did on Saturday, yet we were still behind. So jury's still out on that one. And the only reason the jury's still out is because I think the ruling's got to be applied with common sense. We did nothing wrong. We weren't slow on Saturday, yet we were constantly being mithered about over eight. And I don't think we were doing anything wrong. I don't think it was of our doing. So I think the premise of it is great, but yeah. I think in practicality, it's been a bit of a bother to me the first 2 weeks.
Well, do we have six bowlers, was it, Saturday?
Yeah, we had six bowlers.
And the only one with a reasonably large run-up. We've got two spinners, and then the rest
two
are...
Two spinners, two dibbly-dobblies, and two lads who bowl a little bit quicker than the rest.
So what are these Prem teams going to do when you've got maybe two ex-county bowlers who bowl off 30 yards and stuff like that? Like, you've got to speak some common sense, haven't you? Because that's going to take us a lot longer than us. And if we're going to be behind with, you know, slower bowlers and, you know, people with smaller run-ups, when you've got your better players and your quicker bowlers, you're going to be 10 or 15 minutes behind again.
Yeah, I don't think in a game that takes all afternoon anyway, is it taking an extra 10 minutes because teams are trying to get the fields right in a tight game or trying to dry a wet ball or... If the bowler's up to, in fact, get a bit of sawdust out maybe because the bowler's run up's getting wet, or whatever it is it really that big a problem? Well, I'm not being funny. If you're playing from 1 o'clock till 7 o'clock anyway, is the extra 10 minutes gonna really add any problem? Especially at the moment when you've got all the sanitisation breaks on, you can't have teas, but you still have to have half an hour break. Like, there's other places where it could be sped up a little bit, but. Instead,
a what break, by the way? A sanitisation? What the fuck's a sanitisation break?
That's what it's called officially. Sanitisation break.
Do you mean a sanitation?
You're not technically allowed to have drinks. Do you get an extra little break for that?
No, there's no time allowance for any drinks.
Yeah, we had drinks. I got told to fuck off for wanting a drink as well on Saturday, actually.
Oh, we didn't have a drink. The first couple of weeks, we haven't had a drink. We've had an extended
sanitation
break at like 24.
Yeah, interesting one.
Rule, but I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to be banned.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think the idea is good because they want to.
Yeah, the idea.
They want to speed it all up. That's fine. Great. I'm all for that. No problem whatsoever. But bloody hell, fire! Like, if we'd have got done on Saturday for slow over eight and done for some penalty runs, I'd have been cross. Cause
and also, we were done for five.
Yeah, we were, the game was over for five.
Yeah, I just hope that there's any need, as or as you say, common sense should prevail, you would think.
Should we move on to Division 1?
Why not? Why
Let's
not?
Let's have a gander at Division 1 then. So, Division 1, results. Audley smacked 260 against Newcastle and Hearts Hill. Jack Redman in the runs and Ricardo Gordon in the runs too. Newcastle 190 all out in response. Comfortable win for Audley. Blyth were 67 all out and Elworth knocked them off for three in just over 10 overs. Blyth just picking up the 1 point. Elworth shooting themselves all the way up to top. Good game down at Eccleshall by the looks of things. Want to have a deeper look at this one. Eccleshall batted first, got 259 for 7 off 44 overs, so presumably there was a bit of rain. Nipersley was set a revised target. I think it was 206 from 45. I'm not really sure because they only got 207 and they won. So I think it was 206. It says 260, but I think it might be 206. In 30, just over 35 overs, which is a great effort, just over running half a ball. Miles Coughlin in the runs with 80-odd. Scott Winnington, 40-odd. Asan Tariq as well, who's played in the league. Wicketkeeper, good player. He got 70-odd as well for Eccleshall. Nipersley, however, Louis Washington with 75. Sam Wilcox with 50. Our former professional at Bignall End, Sonny, Arslan Arshadmir, 63 off 33 to bring them home with the overseas pro. Mohamed Afridi, 8 off 4 balls while batted, my lad. Yeah, very, very good effort there by Nipersley. That's a very good effort against a decent actual team. Hemeath romped home against our friends at Little Stoke. Not a great day for the lads at Little Stoke. 78 all out in response to 217. Banksy with some runs, Matt Hodgson with some runs, and Greb Prime with 74. Not too much to write home about for Little Stoke. Reece Owens with 31, and I believe he was the only person in double figures.
Ouch.
I won't mention how good a friend of ours, Jim Eccleston, how he went on, but he had a great day.
What's that?
Didn't he, Lal?
No.
Yeah, he had a great day.
Shady.
Yeah, less said the better about how Little Stoke went on. I won't drag that on for them. They're a good set of lads, so I'm sure they had a good time anyway.
He got two fair, to be fair.
He did get two fair. Ending beat Leicester 157, plays 130. I bet Leicester fancy the chances when Ending were 157 all out. They've done well there to get them all out for 150-odd. And then I'd actually say game of the day in Division 1 looks like it belonged at Wood Lane, just up the road from us. Wood Lane, 227 for 4 off their 45 overs. Dan Brealey in the runs, Jake Thompson in the runs, and Omar Ali in the runs. And Sandyford went and knocked them off with 4 balls to spare, which is an absolutely brilliant effort. Yeah. You'll like this one as well. Extras was also the top scorer for Sandyford. So John Barnett got 40.
Oh wow.
Yasir Ali got a quick 40 and Mohamed Naveed got a quick 30, but extras batted well with 56, which included
that cannot be right.
53 wides. Wow. Joe Mansell bowled 17 wides in 2 overs. He only went for 21 and 17 of them were wide. Jay Green bowled 8. Our good friend and former Bignall End player, Joel Brealey, bowled 11. Yeah, there was quite a few wides knocking about, basically.
Don't really know how to reply to that one. Yeah, that's a lot.
There's a lot of 53 wide. Guys, yeah. that's nearly an extra 10 overs, by the way.
Before I insult anyone, I'm going to see how many we bowled that because I don't want us to have suddenly...
I didn't think we bowled that many, but hey-ho. So, early goings in Division 1, Elworth and Ending and Hemeath are the only 100% team so far. I think we actually done all right in Division 1, haven't we? I think we tipped all those three teams.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we tipped those three teams.
We bowled 10.
That's not bad. Take that. And Little Stoke and Blyth at the bottom two. Weird situation with the points, by the way. It's the first time I've seen this, but You've got a team in Blyth who've actually won a game, who are actually below two teams who have not won games yet.
Wow.
So Blyth sit second bottom, Little Stoke at bottom. Wood Lane and Newcastle haven't won yet, but they're still above Blyth because of how many bonus points they picked up and their run rates over the last couple of weeks. So,
jeez.
I suppose that's what the league wanted to change the bonus points for. So there you can see it working for the benefit. Blyth have only picked up one bonus point, like in total, hence why they are where they are. But I think our predictions for Division 1 are looking okay thus far. Sandyford, maybe the surprise package, sitting in fourth. We'll get on to the good stuff then. Division 2, our home, Lal.
The boys.
So, Lal, do you want to talk Turner and the listeners through how we went on?
Well, I can do, mate, I can do.
Yeah, crack on.
We turned up. We did turn up. Some of us more intoxicated than others. Me and Platy being one of them.
We had a bit of a drunk day, didn't we, Saturday?
Yeah, very. Yeah.
There was some men barely alive. That's all I'm saying. Out there.
You did win the toss, didn't you, sir?
Yeah, won another toss.
He's a very good tosser.
Top tosser.
I love that saying. And we did really well, to be fair, with the ball, didn't we?
I thought we did better.
Yeah, we still might bowl in a couple of four balls, but Kieran Peake, hoping the bowling, bowled very well.
The Doe.
He got 2 for 19 off 6. I got 4 overs 1 for 22, caught by yours truly, Jonathan Maskery.
Indeed, a great cricketing dismissal. Bowled and left also, arm opening bowler, caught cover.
My 11 off one ball. Basically, I don't bowl no balls. It wasn't a no ball. I don't bowl them. And I've got spanked for 6. And then with the free hit, I have gone for 4 while bowled.
And you only went for 22. So half of your runs went in one delivery.
Ball. Wow. Yeah.
And he was also the most expensive bowler of the day.
Yeah, it's a good job. I'm a batsman now, mate. Ben Dixon, for me, has been our player of the first two games. He got 3 for 30 off 8.
I thought you were going to say player of the season yet. Yeah, then we've played two games. My player of the season so far, we've played two games.
Sammy Zarouf, 3 overs 9 for 6, but couldn't land the ball on the cut wicket.
Yeah, he's done well there. He's got away with
very
that.
Very well there, figures
I are. I can't believe those figures are what they are. I think there might be a cheat code somewhere, because he was pitching them by his feet, by the batsman's head. Great wide. We had a couple of great no balls.
Oh, God, yeah.
We had a no ball that was ankle height for height.
From someone who bowled leg spin.
That was going literally 2 miles an hour, that just got knocked back for a dot. And he also missed the free hit. And then we had one that nearly hit someone in the head, and it wasn't a no ball for height. So we're a bit of a strange day there on that one.
The Pro bowled pretty well, didn't he? 3 for 14 off 5.
Yeah, Pro bowled well.
Captain
well
Steve ball. Come on and got one at the end.
Nipped in.
You got runs for them.
I didn't know that a no ball was worth 2, by the way.
Is it?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure we...
Oh, so I now went for 12 off one ball then.
Oh, no. Hang on. There has been a mistake here. I can tell you that there's a mistake on this scorecard because... Adrian only bowled one no ball, and it says he's bowled 2 here, and no one else bowled one. And I know it's an absolute fact.
Get that, mate. That is ruining my average of about 40 so far this season.
But Sammy Zarouf bowled the other one. So, it's locked now, mate. It's Monday. Yeah. It's locked. Yeah, it's locked. It's there for history.
We can take, we're taking some runs off mine that next week. And then, who got runs for them? Will Gallimore got 21. Hit me from a massive 6.
It was a big 6. It was a big
dinner,
decent
delivery as well, to be fair, and he just smashed it. Mohammed Akhtar got 23 and Ollie Edwards 15. That was about it.
Big shout out to Ollie Edwards. First player I've seen who I've played against with a podcast sticker on the back of his bat. No other stickers on his bat at all, apart from our podcast sticker.
That's ultimate dedication, that.
I will just mention at this point in time. In fact, no, I won't. I'll ask Lal to talk us through my almost brilliant piece of fielding. Almost.
It was nowhere near, mate. To be fair, I'll give him... He was the best fielder on the day. I've also rolled over one because I'm seeing three.
And then continue to moan for about 40 minutes. I hate fielding. Get me off. I hate fielding.
Yeah, we had that message on Saturday night, actually, didn't we, about how much you hated fielding. It was
I had the whole family there as well, mate. Wow. Yeah. What were you saying, Jonathan? I've just gone completely off track. How you were fielding, it was, basically, you were at cover, I think, weren't you?
I was.
And it ran round one-handed very quick, and he's thrown it, mate, and it's literally...
off the wrong foot, I might add.
The tiniest bit had gone just over the bales. Because I was standing...
I'm pretty sure it was Ollie Edwards' first ball. I'm pretty sure he just knocked it to me and ran.
Yeah, it was literally like millimetres above the stump. I'm just standing there looking at him thinking, oh, that's going to hit. And then, I had to back it up.
So basically what we're saying is that it came to absolutely fuck all, so it's not worth mentioning again. I did also throw some buzzers as well. I will dob myself in there.
He always moans at Ali Khan for doing it, and he did it himself.
I did do it myself.
Shocking.
Go on to the batting. Stephen Brealey got 36, batted very, played some lovely straight drives, to be fair.
He got it lumped as well.
And then he got a bit tired and tried to slog one and got bowled.
Yeah.
Poor Sebastian Hopwood.
Absolutely stone dead. LBW fourth ball. Don't go back at Bignall End, son.
Say the baby did better.
Mm-hmm.
Out on the outfield. And then Sammy Zaruf with 46 not out. Batted very, very well. The pro
got a bit of a stinker by the sounds of things.
A Foss Bowe LB that I don't think was out.
might well have hit two sets if they were lucky. But,
and then good old Platy 9 not out to see us home.
He did well there. He was
in a very bad way.
He was in a bad way. So I was chuffed to bits that his first ball he cut away for four because that got him going.
Yeah. And then, we've got the first win of the season.
Mm. I will say this. I don't really understand the Mia Heath tactics of trying to bowl the ball halfway down on a road to a very short boundary. To a shitload of left-handers who love just sitting on the back foot and pulling and cutting fuck out of it.
Yeah, questionable that sounds to me, mate.
Really want to mention the story, but I feel like I'll just get so much abuse for it.
What's the story?
The lad that went 20 off one over and then went pulled up injured.
Oh yeah, we did. We had a non-compliant. I'm injured.
He genuinely could have been injured, to be fair, but
he could well have been because he was taking some big tumbles. Mm. Remember back in the day, Turner, when Stephen Finn always used to like fall over when he fell. Yeah, so we had a few of them by one lad in particular who will remain nameless. And then it just so happened after taking a particular over of tap. We had a refusal. No,
oh, come nice.
On. Gone. It's gone, John.
Oh, didn't he actually walk off the pitch as well at this point?
I don't know. I think so.
That's given me a little throwback to last weekend. I went watch our Sunday side and one of our lads, they had an oldish bloke, middle-aged bloke, come in at number 9, I think it was, and he got bounced first or second ball, hit in the gut, the beer belly, if I'm being fair. Batted the last couple of balls of the over out and then just basically walked off and said, nah, I'm not carrying on. I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever known anyone walk off the pitch because they've been hitting the beer gut. And I can't say I was particularly impressed by the bloke. Doing it, but fair play, I guess if it hurt, it hurt. But yeah, it's not like a broken finger out, is it? It's
I didn't realise we knocked him off in less than 20 overs. That's rapido. We're a proper.
We did score very quick, and we didn't really play any
We didn't swap. Shots.
No, but apart from Steve's, which I've still seen as the worst shot of the season.
Yeah, it takes some beating. That I do like.
Back was hurting.
Yeah, he said his back was hurting and then he proceeded to almost swing himself off his own feet.
Nice.
I do love play cricket when it just jumbles up the batting order because it's got me and you coming in next, Aidan. If anyone saw us on Saturday, there was absolutely no way in hell that we were going in next.
This is one thing as well, I was on about because I was meant to be 7 and I pushed myself down to 8 because I hate going into bat when you only need like 10 to win.
I think when the pro got out, we only needed like 10 or 20 to win.
The only thing that's happening is you're going to get out. You know, you might walk off with 2-0 out, but majority of the time, you're just going
to
get
out. Kieran Peake will be thrilled, though, because he was due to come in straight after us, according to Play Cricket. So if anyone saw us on Saturday...
We need to change that.
Yeah, if anyone saw us on Saturday, Adrian and I had no intention of going out to bat whatsoever. And Peaky, if you've ever seen him bat, you might as well bat 12. So, that was definitely not the
bat. He's also got the biggest kit bag for someone who hardly bats.
Yeah, massive kit bag for someone who just basically needs spikes.
He'll be happy though, because he's now got a shout out on him.
Yeah, and he's got as many wickets as you have this year. So,
but I told you, mate, I'm a batsman. I average 38 with a bat.
God, here we go.
There we go. So we're to finish off our Division 2 roundup, shall we? Caverswall beat Road Park quite comfortably. Caverswall.
How many for Arak Thomas?
Not many.
Arak got 14, and it was a slow 14 as well, off 22 balls without a boundary.
What's he pissing about her?
I know. I can only presume it may have been a wet one, but they did play almost a full game, so perhaps not. Greg Phillips got 30-odd, Mark Dodd 40-odd, and that was about it for Caverswall. 30 extras for Caverswall as well on the old batting front. I see Darren Snape played for Road Park. Do wonder if he was pissed beforehand. That would have been a good laugh if so. But no, by the looks of things, Road Park just kept it pretty tight, I think. And then if you look at Road Park's card, Road Park were 104 all out. Only Richard Bevington, 42. At the top of the innings, he was only one of two people to break double figures. In fact, Extras was the second highest scorer in that innings as well.
Extras had a very good weekend.
Extras has had a great weekend across the league. Good shout to the Caverswall bowlers, though, because all seven of the bowlers used all picked up a wicket.
Nice.
Tom Caton, 3-9 off 8. That's a great spell of bowling, my friend. Jamie Ball with 2. Jake Edge with 1. Josh Need with 1. Iraq with 1 for 10 off 2. John Baker with 1. And also Greg Phillips nipped in with 1 as well. So good win for Caverswall. Norton Ailes were big winners over Stafford. Norton Ailes, 278 for 7 off 40. Good luck to whoever's got to play them on Saturday. And Stafford that's us. Stafford were 140 all out. Guy Seaton has experienced the highs and lows of cricket. Got 100 against us last week and got 1 this week.
Should have got 1 last week, shouldn't he?
He should, yeah. Mate.
2.
Was he on 2? Dropped on 2. Got 107.
Oh, yeah, he got stumped. Is that right? Stumped?
He got stumped, yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting in the first 2 overs.
Yeah. Very interesting. First wicket to 4. Bizarre. And then, a couple of surprise results. Surprise result, early favourites for the league, Port Hill seconds, comfortably beaten by Oakmore, who are now 2-2. Maybe Chris wasn't totally off the mark with his predictions the other week. Oakmore, 183 for 9 off their 40 overs. Port Hill, 125 all out. Maybe Travers knew something that we didn't.
Match fixing,
yeah.
He's streak.
To be fair, Turner, I did predict Oakmore to beat Port Hill. I remember that.
Did you, mate? I'm glad you can remember. I've got
it. That's the only one I can remember.
Don't really know what's going down with Port Hill. Our friends, good lads at Port Hill, good mates, all of us down at Port Hill.
I spoke to Fizzy yesterday, actually.
Fizzy, well batted Fizzy. 9 ball duck, well batted pal.
Who's missing? Obviously, Niall is working away somewhere.
Working away. Yeah, they're missing a few lads. I see there's got a few lads in.
I think he's just golfing. I don't think he's interested. Maybe wrong. Might just be golfing this weekend. I don't know. But that's what he said. Who else is missing? And then there's obviously a couple that have gone into the first team, haven't they?
Yeah, so a few missing from the Port Hill side, but they're none from 2 so far this season. But I'm sure they'll turn it around. But I think the big story there is Oakmore 2-2. And then we finish off with Sandbach. Sandbach beat All Sage 168 all out. Sandbach knocked him off for 6. Fraser Smith. Yes.
We have Norton Hales and then Oakmore away.
We have Norton Hales, Oakmore, Caverswall and Sandbach are our next 4 games. So
enjoy, boys, enjoy.
A tough 4. Very tough 4.
The bowler there sounded really happy.
2 wickets from 2 games and I've got 4 next 4 games. I'm going to be like 2 wickets from 6 games.
Up the lads. Confidence.
So, the lads at Bingham End now found themselves slap bang in mid-table, one from two. Cavers Wall, Norton and Ailes, Oakmore and Sandbach, two from two in Division Two. Ourselves, Silverdale, Stafford, Barlaston are one out of two. And Allsage, Port Hill, Road Park and Meerith all waiting at their first win. Road Park and Meerith propping up the division. Meerith just with the 5 points. Great set of lads we played on Saturday. Looked like they might be struggling for a bit for a side, but really good set of lads, so I hope things work out all right for them. I have got some personal connections with Meerith anyway, so I do hope things work out for the best. But I think at the bottom of Division 2, shy of Port Hill, our predictions have been pretty bang on, lads, don't you?
Yeah, seems that way. Seems like we might have a slight indication as to what we're doing or talking
about. The top of the division, I don't think we've been far wrong. Norton, Nails and Caverswall, currently the top two. Oakmore and Sandbach. I know we tipped Sandbach for there or thereabouts. Oakmore, okay, fair dues.
Didn't Chris Travers tip Silverdale to go down?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I've definitely heard him say both two.
We'll have to listen back again. We'll have to listen back. And then we'll delve into Division 3. Now, Turner, you've got ties here. Wedgwood first team. What's happening, mate? Bottom two after two games.
We're struggling a little because we're missing a couple of people. We have one player who has to work in Pakistan who won't be back till June. And we've had another player who has met a new partner and has decided to move down to Portsmouth with her. And that's a long way, mate. Exactly.
If you go any further down than Portsmouth, you're in the sea, pal.
Exactly. And then probably one of our biggest signings this year, would have been one of our biggest players, is having to miss at least the next few weeks through personal issues, wishing him the best and hope everything gets sorted. But yeah, we've been hit by probably losing two definite starters in our ones, which has also affected the twos because obviously people have had to play up. But I think they were unlucky, to be honest, on Saturday, because I'm told 179 was a very good score on the pitch because it was not good. But again, good old Duckworth Lewis meant that the target was much more attainable when you've got 10 wickets to knock it off with. So I am told. I only saw literally the last over.
If we go through 179, Wedgwood were for 6 off 40 overs. Hemeath were then revised to 109 off 22, and they knocked him off for 4 and 20 overs. 5 and over in 2020 cricket basically is a doddle, so to speak, is it not?
Yeah.
So who got them for Hemeath? Let's have a look. Ben Rodgson, good player, good keeper. Ben Lucas failed. Elliot Rodgson, his brother. Okay. Michael Brocklehurst. Didn't Brocky used to play at Wedgwood?
Yeah, we had a little drink after with Brocky. Top lad, to be fair, is Brock. And we had a good drink with him after, actually, under a little tent. Yeah, Brocky's a good lad and a good, yeah,
we
good
haven't,
player.
We haven't got one of them tents at Bingham End anymore, mate.
Won't even talk about that, mate.
No, we won't. You're right. But yeah, looks like Wedgwood were done by the conditions a little bit on Saturday. So what are the results we've got around Division 3? So we've got Cheadle and Meekins second team, two second teams leading the way. I know the most of them are second teams in Division 3, but Cheadle and Meekins second leading the way in Division 3 so far, the only unbeaten sides. Cheadle comfortably disposed of Hanford, 194, plays 113. Checkley disposed of a decent enough crew side. I'm going to delve into this scorecard here because I want to mention one of the crew lads. Lewis Bacon is in some serious nick, by the way. So Lewis plays for crew. I believe he's a crew lad. 102 not out against Checkley seconds, which is a good effort because there's some good players in that Checkley second team. And Lewis also got 165 not out against our third team last week. So Lewis has scored 265 runs in the last two games and not yet been on a winning side.
Oh dear.
I also saw they conceded in the cup.
They did. They conceded to Meekins in the cup yesterday. So if anyone's got a reason why they conceded in the cup yesterday.
Fair play if you don't have the players, but
if you just don't fancy it, lads, then that's a bit of a shit effort. However,
we're not going to judge because we don't know facts.
Yeah, we're not going to judge because we don't know facts. However, if you did concede because you haven't got enough, because you didn't fancy it, then shit by you. So I do notice, however, dare I mention it, that Crew third team did play.
Just about to ask, did they play?
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, lads, there is quite a few lads who played in the first team on Saturday, including Lewis Bacon, who got another 72. So essentially, he scored over 300 runs in three games, and he's not yet been dismissed.
Wow. He's in good nick.
Serious nick, yeah.
He didn't fulfil the fixture.
But he should have been getting 60 against Meekins. That's what he should have been getting, because he'd have got him. The form he's in, no doubt. I'm confident in that.
At least one, though.
Yeah. But they didn't win on Saturday because Checkley knocked them off. Matt Taylor, 90 off 76, not out. But a good side. A very good side of Checkley seconds. Shaz Lickett, who's see him at the gym quite regularly. Dan Amos, good player. Kev Whitehurst, who's been there a long time, used to play second team against him, good player. Then Ben Carrigan and Matt Taylor opening up. Good side, that Checkley second team. Couple of really, really good second teams in Division 3 this year. Lewis Bacon, good luck if you have to play against him this season, because he's got, basically 200s in a summer to another. He's just very good at cricket so far. Very good at cricket. Elsewhere in the division, Meeking seconds, 240 for 9 off their 40. Zafar Iqbal, season campaigner in the North Staff South Cheshire League, is Zafar, 104 not out.
Second week in a row, I think he's done the bulk of the job for them.
Let's have a gander. 100, 150 in two games. Not a bad return. 76 not out last week against Checkley. That would have been a good game. Checkley and Meekins played last week, in the first week. Yeah, how interesting. Hang on. Oh, Cheadle. I was saying Checkley. I'm meant to be talking about Cheadle. Yeah, so they beat Checkley last week. Yeah, good result. Well batted, that man. Where was I? Cheadle. That's maybe the result I want. I want Cheadle. Where are they? There they are. They're at the top. So there you go. That's round the division. So Checkley and... Cheadle. Jesus Christ. Cheadle and Meekins seconds.
You want to get him doing this again, mate?
Oh, no. Terrible. They're just so similar. I'm sorry. And they're also not too far away from each other, are they? So there's just Wedgwood and Audley seconds. Sorry, Turner, who are winless in Division 3. But looks like a competitive league, tell you, Division 3.
Mm.
Only 10 out of the 12 teams, 4 registered a win already, which is good. And some really good second team cricket being played as well, which is nice to see. Mm. Audley seconds have not yet registered a win. Just having a look at their scorecard, 161 all out, keeping it in the parish for the lads at Audley. And Stone knocked them off for none. So I think Audley seconds might be a bit stretched for numbers, maybe a couple in the first team, but hopefully they can come good. But Stone's second team looks a good side. James McCaw has played some first team cricket. Got some good cricketers, Rich Harvey, Steve Aston. Got some very, very good cricketers in that Stone second team. So, yeah. So that's our little roundup of results and competitions from the weekend. Fixtures to come then. So I'm going to read the fixtures out for the gentlemen with me. And all I want you to do, guys, is shout me a club. I'll read the fixture. You give me who you think's going to win. And then we'll revisit this next week. Are you ready?
Born ready, honest.
Premier Division first. Cheadle, Checkley, Lalo.
Rained off.
Nice. That could be a popular one. Turner.
Yeah.
Checkley.
Meekins, Longton.
Rained off.
Longton.
Meekins.
Ooh, nice. Good game that's lining up as Meekins wanting to get back on track. Longton, 2 from 2. Leek, Port Hill.
Leek.
Oh,
I know.
Ooh.
I'm going to just disagree with it because it's, well, no, Port Hill.
Modishull, Ashcombe.
I'll go first. Modishull.
I'm going to agree, Modishull. That sub-pro seems like he's doing a very, very good job.
Yeah, I don't know who he is. I presume he's Sri Lankan. Yeah, presume he's Sri Lankan from his name. I don't know whether he's sub-pro or he is the pro.
Sub-pro, I understand he's sub-pro.
Yeah. But yeah, he's doing the best so far. Stone Bearslin.
Bearslin.
Stone at home.
Josh Rhodes, yeah. 50.
I'm going to go Stone at home.
Stone at home, yeah. And then battle of the two teams that we tipped for relegation. I know the Bagnall lads won't be happy at that, so sorry in advance, lads. But Whitmore Bagnall at Whitmore.
I believe Graham White is there for 5 games.
He failed Saturday, so.
But he did fail Saturday.
So Bagnall then.
Ooh. Go on, just because I like the lads at Bagnall.
Okay, lovely. That is Premier Division. Division One, we go. Eccleshall Audley.
Ooh.
Eccleshall.
Yeah, I've got to go with Eccleshall.
Alworth Wood Lane.
Alworth.
Endon Hem Heath, good game.
Very
good game. Banksy and George Sellers both turned up in that fixture last year.
Ooh. Depends how much ale he's had on the Friday.
I'm going to go Emmy. Go on.
Tina, I want to go Emmy. Go on, I'll go Emmy. So.
Knipersley, Little Stoke.
Knipersley.
I'm going to bat the boys, I am. Go on.
Yeah, bat the lads. We'll go Little Stoke. Yeah, I'm with you there. I want to see him get off the mark. Castle versus Blythe.
Castle.
Blythe, I'm going to go. I'm going to mix it up. My.
Okay.
I'm just being hopeful. Come on. Got to be different.
Sandyford versus Leeset to finish Division 1.
Sandyford.
Leeset.
Sandyford have had a good start, you know.
Yeah, that's what
I'll be honest, most of these games are getting rained off because
it's
in the forecast. It is a rain card.
Yeah. Okay, into Division 2 then. All Sage of Caverswall. Be wet down there.
Caverswall, yeah.
Yeah. The lads versus Norton and Ailes.
Back in the lads.
Go on, Tierney.
Go on, the lads. We are due against Norton and Ailes. I'd say we've had some close shaves.
Are you actually really going to play, Jono? Because you always shit out against Norton and Ailes.
Generally, I always shit out against Norton and Ailes, but I can confirm I am ready and available on Saturday, yeah.
If selected,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm back. We're going. We're winning, mate.
We've got Mere Heath versus Silverdale.
Sloggerdale.
Silverdale, yeah.
Port Hill has Sandbach. Be good game that was.
Very Sandbach. Good game.
Sandbach,
yeah.
I tell you what, that'd be a disaster for Port Hill seconds in their title hopes if they go none from three from the first three games. Finishing off, we've got Road Park, Barlaston.
Ooh. Road Park, I'm going to. Actually, I don't know. No, Barlaston. Go Barlaston.
Okay, and then we're finishing off with Stafford Oakmore.
Where at Stafford?
That's at Stafford, yes.
Stafford.
Yeah, I'm going back them.
In back Stafford against Oakmore?
Mm.
Yeah. Why not? We'll be wrong, so who cares?
We're going to be wrong with all of them anyway, so.
Rain wins.
Rain's winning the day. Be interesting, though, see how we're going against Stafford. Hopefully Stafford don't just produce a highway. That'd be nice. So we move on to Division 3. Apologies to anyone who's below Division 3, by the way. We just wouldn't have time to get through if we went through all the divisions. Audley seconds versus Meakin seconds. Bottom versus top.
Meakin seconds.
Oh, yeah, you probably have to go for the team that's top, aren't you?
Checkley Eccleshall second. Third v fourth in Division 3. Be good game.
Checkley.
Eccleshall.
Nice. Crewe versus Wedgwood. Will Lewis Bacon get another 100?
I'm backing the boys, obviously, because I've got two
lads I've killed. And Ollie Wilson to get him out.
Are you? You're getting big Will, Stuart.
Bet of
Ollie,
the day.
So, I don't know Ollie Wilson, but I've heard all sorts about your lad. So if you do get him out, give him the big send. That's all I'm saying.
He loves a big send.
He's going to pull one over.
Yeah, so I've heard.
And
it'll go for 15, but he'll get him out and then he'll be bought off. Pinch wicket taker, I like it. Then we'll go Hanford Modishall, seconds.
Hanford, because I was telling
Hanford.
Hemi seconds versus Cheadle.
Hemi.
Yeah, Hemi.
And then we're finishing with Longton seconds versus Stone seconds.
Stone.
Longton.
Yeah, that's going to be a close one, I would say, to be fair, looking at their two teams. Solid 11s from both of them.
Good playing 11s.
Exactly. 11 good cricketers on display for both sides.
So there you go. That's our roundup for North Staffordshire cricket for the week or so.
I guess it's time to say goodbye then, is it?
I know it is.
Room 101.
We did that with Boyd, mate. So, I mean,
well, I've kind of got one because it's that I'm getting chucking under the bus.
I mean, do you want to save it for next week or do you just want to chuck him under the bus anyway?
He's just a pipe.
Okay, go for it. Chuck him under.
What are your thoughts on fielding in a beanie?
No.
A club beanie?
It's still a beanie.
I mean, pre-season friendly, yeah. I can't deny.
Also, when I went to Ashcombe Burns yesterday, one of the Ashcombe lads had a hoodie underneath the plain top.
Yeah, that's village.
Yeah, hey,
that is very village.
Yeah. Just wanted to chuck that in there.
To be honest, weirdly, if Boyd hadn't got a room 101, that was basically mine, which was wearing non-cricketing items for cricket, because Wedgwood famously have someone in the second team who I'm sure won't listen to this. But he used to have a hat that was more like a fishing hat or a Crocodile Dundee style hat that he used to wear to fielding, which was...
Are you naming names?
Debatable. Oh, everyone who listens will know that I'm on about Gary Timmies, but he does now wear a cap, so I can let him off. I don't think I've ever quite seen such ridiculous headwear on a
pitch.
I just
don't wear them because I struggle to get anything to fit my head.
Yeah, we weren't going to talk about the size of your noggin. But I think that's us done for the week, boys. So anyone listening, please follow, subscribe, review, and all of that palaver. Make sure you go check out Woodstock. And as always, the Cry Bat stickers, we're trying to get rid of as many of them as we can. We're trying to raise as much money as we can for cardiac risk in the young. So please, please donate. Clubs, if they want to get a sheet offers, give us a shout and we'll sort them out. I know Norton and Ailes and Lee Clement be having sheets offers. Betley had a sheet off me on Saturday.
Norton Ailes should be having a sheet off me on Saturday. So, only if you hand the 30 quid over before, I'm like, get it in. You won't be getting it for free, lads. I'm just warning you.
But yeah, so please, if you're willing to donate, please do. We will sort you with some stickers. And yeah, that's it now until next week. I'm sure we'll have yet another thrilling episode ready for next week. But big thanks to everyone who's listened. Have a good week, and let's hope that the forecast is wrong and we do actually get some cricket next weekend. Cheers.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.